welcome to the Cinnamon and Dice podcast, where we play tabletop role-playing games for our amusement and yours. I am your game master and host, Evadne, and today we pick up right where we left off our intrepid heroes in the last episode. So let's jump right into the episode, shall we?
Let's play some
Spelljammer! Let's splice things up!
Alright, I'm cutting it off there.
Splice?
We're cutting it off there. Alright, I'm ready to go whenever y'all are.
Okay. I'm gonna try and remember. We're gonna wait to talk. Okay.
Me too.
I gotta remember that. I just did it to you again. I just have such a delayed reaction from the thought to coming out of my head. I gotta shorten the time in between. I apologize.
I feel like this is gonna help our relationship.
I think so.
Because we're gonna learn not to interrupt each other.
Yeah, every other week.
I stand by my previous statement. All right, I'm good.
Having been driven from a coastal settlement by gigantic crystalline vines, astroblights, and earthquakes, you've secured passage aboard the Moon Dancer, a galleon under the command of Captain Elena Sartell. You fought tooth and nail against Travis and his gang to take back control of the ship that he was literally stealing in the midst of this huge apocalyptic event. And once doing so, you saved 60 souls from the collapsing docks that boarded the ship. So after clearing the harbor, the ship then rocketed up into the air, out into space. You find yourself standing on the Moon Dancer. You see scores of crystalline vines erupting from the surface of your world as you are sailing through the air and through the atmosphere. Some of the vines reach high enough to break through the clouds. You find yourself sailing through a void filled with colorful gases and blinking stars. A school of space-dwelling fish swim past the ship on the starboard side. "Welcome to Wild Space," says Sartell, sweeping her arms wide. "That was a close thing down there. Blast if I know what those things are and how to get rid of them, but somebody on the Rock of Brawl might." So you guys have, so what are you guys doing right now?
I'm looking over, this is Shep. Shep is looking over the edge and just going, "The water's getting farther away."
what?
And I'll look to Captain Elena. "Please tell me what's happening to me right now, because I don't know if this is a dream."
"This is not a dream. This is Wild Space." And she opens her arms wide and does like a little flourish and twirl. She's beaming with pride. I told you that it would be an adventure of a lifetime. Did I not? Remember back in the tavern before everything went to shit?
I was eavesdropping. I didn't hear everything.
I told one of you. Where's the other one?
And you kind of like pan over and you'll see Nova on the edge of the ship, like looking over, eyes kind of glossed over, and just trying to see if she can remember anything. This feels kind of familiar, or at least she knows it should. So she's trying to just kind of stand there and assess her situation and see if she can remember anything.
Okay, so you're all right.
First roll
tonight. Why don't you roll me a history check?
History. Ooh, that's gonna be a clean 10.
That'll be a 10 for Nova.
Actually, let's roll.
Ooh, yes. Try again. Oh no.
I should have said that before, but
it's okay. It's fine. If you want me to re-roll, like, not personal.
You don't remember seeing this place.
Okay.
You don't remember seeing it yourself, but you've heard other druids in your space talk about Wild Space. You know, or at least the Dark Beyond is what they called it. And they're not sure, like, no one, you recall that no one from your world has gone into Wild Space, but you, being from your circle, the circle of the stars, you have studied the minimum amount for your circle, and know of it, know that no one from the circle has gone into wild space, and you know that there is power in the stars.
Okay. That's where y'all find Nova.
But go ahead and roll an insight check to see how you're feeling right now and if you can understand.
That's going to be a 23.
Ooh.
Okay.
Sorry? That's going to be a 22.
You definitely have this deja vu sense, kind of like it's not in your thoughts, it's in your body. Like out in the stars, you kind of know that you can't go a certain amount past like the ship, but you lean out as if reaching for the stars, and it's something, and it's automatic. Your body is doing it by itself as you're just leaning over the starboard side, holding onto a rope and just like feeling the air as it goes through. You're looking off in the distance, seeing all the different colors, and there's some green and purple gases off to the side, and you see like stardust and other galaxies. And it's a sight that in your chest you feel a fluttering.
Mm.
It's like super vague and not clear, but it's undeniably there. And you don't know if the fluttering is nerves or excitement.
All right, I think Nova will, kind of unable to assess what this is, she's just gonna bury it down. And shake it off and go to find the loud ruckus. I feel like once she kind of pulls back from her trance-like state of kind of being really zoned in on one thing, she starts to hear the conversation between Shep and Elena. That's her name, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to hear, oh, I don't know, where is that one anyways? And she'll kind of go back to find them.
Explain to me what wild space means. Is this like the Fey realm?
And I'll walk up.
I don't understand how I can see those things and they still look far away when I'm not on the ground. The stars and the pretty clouds, this is a lot. Do you have any livestock on the ship?
I'm sorry. How does that relate to wild space right
I'm
now?
I'm just really worried about livestock that's on the ship. Do they survive? How do they survive in this area? There's no grass.
All right. So what's going on?
Oh.
And I kind of walk up and I just kind of pat Shep on the shoulder when I see them sort of spiraling a little bit.
We're in wild space, Nova. I don't know what this is. And then I'll just mumble to myself and be like holding my holy symbol. Avandra, you told me you would take me on a journey and I didn't ask for this type of journey, but I guess I'm going on it. I know I don't like staying in one place, but I didn't think you would punish me this way.
Wild space is this. And she points to the space. It is just another sea, a greater sea, a vaster sea of which to explore.
I'm sorry, did you call this a sea?
But it's not wet.
So there's fish.
There's so much here that you don't know. Honestly, it would take me all of a lifetime to explain wild space, but really, you gotta experience it. It's more of an experience than something you can read in a book. Trust me.
So since we're speaking of trust, would you like to tell us what we're doing here?
Well, I don't know if you remember, but the big orange vine that was destroying the whole town that we were currently in, while all these people are on board, and she points to all these like 60 people who are just like oohing and aahing and looking around. She's like, well, I needed a crew. I was originally on your world for the repairing of a mangala. I don't know. I forgot how to say it now. It's a mangonel. It's basically a catapult. Anyway, so I was on your world because I needed some repairs to the ship. Parts were destroyed in my last encounter in wild space, and before I returned to our normal port of call, the Rock of Brawl, I just wanted to get it repaired. Sometimes with a world closer to the Rock of Brawl, they don't have much wood, so I had to go a little bit farther out this time to get a bit of a cheaper repair.
Why did the ship need to be repaired?
Yeah, you mentioned something in an encounter. So yes. The fish attack you in space?
There are many things here in Wild Space. Usually the fish aren't what I worry about.
Oh my god, it's a sea. Okay, go ahead.
Is that Nova?
Yeah. Yes. Totally Nova. And not at all Liv.
I love that. What was the question?
Why did the ship need to be repaired?
We run into other ships sometimes, and they think that they can just take whatever they want. I mean, you've encountered Travis. They still appear even here in Wild Space.
Oh, wow. This is a whole new expanse that I just need to sit down for. And Shep will just kind of put the shield down, like with the rounded part facing up, and kind of sit on their shield. Even though it's probably got some blood on it from bashing people. And just kind of sit on the ground and not leave the area. Doze off for a second, thinking.
I see that this is a lot.
I'm like dripping blood out of my mouth and beat to shit. Yeah, it's kind of a lot.
We've had quite an eventful few hours. So you guys take a moment to rest. It'll take us a couple days to get to the Rock of Brawl. But I think there you'll be able to find some answers about what happened to your world and why this is happening. For now, I'll show you to your quarters and take a rest. I've got to go check on the pilot of the ship. And so she kind of like starts walking towards underneath the main deck to the stairs that lead underneath the main deck and calls you to come along.
Is there a place to get a drink around here?
Yes, the kitchen's just down here.
Whenever she like goes to show us to our rooms, I'm going to split off and go to the kitchen and grab a beer.
As she's walking us down, I'll ask, you mentioned a port of call called the Rock of Brawl, right?
Yes.
Is this on a planet?
Actually, it's on an asteroid. Very quaint, a little crowded, but...
Huh. Okay. So, they might... I don't understand what happened to our planet. Have you encountered this on other planets before? How did you know to leave right away? You were the first one to move.
Well, I actually haven't encountered anything like that before. Nor have I seen it, but... And unfortunately, I don't know what's going on. But when the Earth starts shaking, it's usually good to be in the air than on the ground. Which is why I wanted to get on the ship as quickly as possible. It's my main source of living. It's my freedom.
Okay.
But I believe that on the Rock of Brawl... There can be someone who can help you. There's many people who stop there. It's a usual port of call. Actually, I do know someone who would be able to help you. And she's talking to you guys as she's leading you down into the cargo deck.
Okay, so you might know someone. Do you have a name?
Yes. And she stops in front of a door. And she says, his name is Commander Crux.
Crux, like the shoe? They can't see you nodding.
All right, Commander Crux. I thought you were going to point me towards a scholar or something, but I guess a commander could do.
He might be able to have an idea of what's going on here. I think he also goes by a nickname called Old Boot.
That sounds like a very flattering nickname.
I don't think it's one that he gave himself.
That's usually how nicknames go.
He usually is around the Rock of Brawl. Typically at the Happy Beholder there.
Is that a tavern?
Yes, very quaint, very cute on the Lower City. It's ran by this very jolly beholder.
A beholder?
Yes, have you ever met one?
I usually hope most people in their lifetimes don't meet one. At least... That's what I've been told.
Really?
They're so bad and scary.
Oh, Joseph is such a good person. Well, beholder. They know how to liven the party, which is probably why they're doing so well. Anyway.
Okay.
Commander Crux, aka Old Boot. Search for him once we get to the Rock of Brawl.
All right. I guess. Well, after we take a short rest, you mentioned you might need some help around the boat, so... Let us know when you need us.
Oh, let her know. I have some things I have to attend to. Thank you for volunteering me. I really love that. And I'm going to walk to the kitchen and try to get a beer.
Right. Well, and then since Shep is there, this is both of your quarters, the door. I'll let you get settled. I'm going to check in with our pilot and see what we can do about finding accommodations for the rest of the people on board. And she kind of puts her hand on your shoulder in a comforting way. And it's just like, it'll all work out. Just hang in there. And then turns around and walks away. You see her go back up into onto the main deck.
Shep just mutters to themselves, I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to wake up. It's going to be a dream, just like the last one. It'll be fine.
Once you get into the cabin, you see that there are two beds on either side, kind of framing the door. The heads of the bed are facing away from the door and connected, sitting next to the headboards are desks. And you see that there's a desk for each either side of the room. And that's pretty much all you see in the room. You see a couple stools. It's a little cramped. It's not really spacey. You see that there's just like a little rug that lays in the center of the room. This is one of their finer rooms. You know that on ships that are not really that big, but you can tell that for helping save her ship and take control of her ship, she is doing you guys a huge favor, which was save your life and also provide you accommodations so you can rest and heal and move forward from that.
I'll look around and just be like, I get dibs. So I'll test out each bed, see which one feels the best. Can I determine which one is firmer? Because I got a bad back.
Yeah, the one on the right.
Okay.
Gonna write a note. Shep has a bad back.
Yeah. I have to also note that. So Shep will take the one on the right then and lay there. I'm pretty sure I have a backpack. I'm going to put my backpack down, keep all of my current equipment on me, and just sit on the bed. And did you mention there was a window in here or no?
There is a small window, yes. It's like directly mirroring the door on the other side of the room.
Okay. I'll just look around and be like, oh, she appreciates what we did. And then go look at through the little small window and just kind of stare off into space and take it in and try to look for fishes.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want to do before you pan over to the kitchen?
I will go to the desk and open up my diary. And I will just start writing in it a little note to Avandra. And it's going to say, I know I didn't listen the first time. I think. But did you really have to send me to space? ? Either way, I am your humble servant. I just have words about it. Love, Shep. And then underneath that, I'll write a little poem and says, sparkly stars, you remind me of the eyes of a sheep.
Oh, God.
Their cute, dark eyes, as dark as the inky black universe, specks of light like diamonds. That's what I see.
Shep, the aspiring poet. Aspiring poet.
And I actually wrote down some of that on my notes.
The aspiring bad poet.
Yep.
I think it's interpretive, you know?
Thank you.
You like
Thank
to be
you.
In the mood to receive it.
That was the other word I was looking for.
And that's it. That's all they're going to write in their little diary. They are going to just take a short rest.
Okay. All right. Okay, Nova.
So Nova finds herself anywhere where she can get a drink.
Okay. So you go back up into the main deck and you walk across the deck, realizing that you don't know where the main deck is or where the kitchen is. You're there on the main deck and you see a bunch of people, you know, kind of like some of them are leaning over, looking out into the stars. Some have like vast, like mind blown kind of expressions on their face, just like in awe of everything that's going on around them. You see some of the children are like reaching up high, trying to touch some of the stars. And then you notice that the ship kind of goes through a cloud of stardust, and everything starts to twinkle, and the kids are like running around chasing the bigger clusters of stardust as they float by.
So I will try to go wherever I can to find the kitchen. She told me the general area, so I will go to wherever the general area was that she kind of told me, and then just start asking around for the kitchen.
So you're on the main deck. You kind of cross the main deck over to the other side. You see that there's another door over there. And you start asking people, hey, is the kitchen this way? The people around you don't know. They are new here. You see a woman turn around and she goes,
I have no idea. I'm totally new here. Not quite sure what was going on before. Like, suddenly the earth was shaking and dying and... My father, he was in the building, and
she starts bawling right in front of you.
Okay.
He's there. And I'm here.
I understand. Okay. So you don't know where I can get a drink? Oh.
She's shaking her head.
No. Okay. Well, I'm gonna go, okay. Yes. So I mentioned when I was talking about my character description that Nova has like super fiery red hair, and it kind of looks like flowers and vines just kind of naturally grow there. So she just starts taking some out and makes the tiniest bushel. It's very unappealing because once she takes them out, they kind of die, right? So she takes these flowers out and it's like mediocre, and she doesn't know what to do as someone's just crying at her, and that's how she takes it. They're crying at her. And so she takes the flowers and like goes to like grab the person's hand as if she was to be there for them, puts the flowers in, and slowly walks away, and then it just keeps going. And I just keep walking backwards. Okay.
Oh, this is so nice. Thank you. My father.
Right.
He would love me.
Okay.
And she just like is just holding them to her chest.
Uh-huh.
And just like crushing them.
Right. All right. I'm gone. So that was terrible and I hated all of that. So I, as Nova, am going to try again. And this time I understand that talking to people is the wrong way to go. So I'm just going to start opening doors.
Okay, so you go through the door that's directly in front of you.
Or anything that smells, like if I can smell food, I assume that the kitchen has some kind of odor, not assuming it's good, but I'm assuming there's like an odor of cooking things.
Yeah, roll a perception check.
So it's a nat 1. That was really traumatic for me. When you roll a nat 1, you don't add your bonuses, do you?
You do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's a 7.
Cool.
I'm super perceptive, but that really threw me off. I got tears on me. I hated all of it. So I'm just trying.
You just kind of like, your mind is preoccupied by getting away from these people. You're like, I can't take anyone anymore. I cannot take on anyone else's emotional baggage. Yeah. So you just kind of walk away, go through the door that you were kind of making your way towards anyway. And go through there and you find yourself in a hallway. It's pretty small. It's pretty cramped. You see a few doors. You can see about 5 doors.
Okay.
There's one immediately to your right. And then on the other side of that door, further down the hallway, just by like a foot or two, you see that there's a bookshelf with some knickknacks, some vials on it, and then you see another door directly on the other side of that. And you see a label on there. It says kitchen.
Ah, I found it. I am super perceptive and great at everything, obviously. So I'm going to go and walk into the kitchen.
Okay, you walk into the kitchen. You don't see anybody there.
It's very, very small. It's enough room just for like a cook to move about, store some spices and food and supplies. It doesn't look like there's too much on there.
Okay.
There's too much out. And you see just like a bar with a couple of, what is the word? Three? Bar stools.
Oh, okay.
You see a bar with a couple of bar stools. There's no like bar behind the bar. It's just like the counter.
Okay.
Almost like as if it was just a long crate and underneath are just a couple bar stools there.
Okay. I look around. I don't see anyone. I don't feel like talking to anybody. So I'm just going to go to the other side and try to make myself a drink. I'm going to see if I see any kind of like clear alcohol.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and do an investigation check for me?
Oh my God. That's a cool 4.
Nice. So you find a few bottles of some things. You see like a few things in wine glasses. You see a few things in wine bottles. You notice like some jars of clear liquid. You're not sure if it's alcohol.
Tight. I'm gonna grab it.
Okay.
I'm gonna sniff it.
Okay.
Does it smell like alcohol?
Okay. I need you to roll a constitution saving throw.
Ooh, that is my jam.
From sniffing?
That's gonna be an 18.
Okay. You sniff this kind of clear oil. You can tell now that it looks like oil less than liquid, and you feel like this tingling enter your nose, and then it kind of just grows into a sharp like zing of spice and flavor, and it just kind of creeps up your nose, and you can kind of feel it go into your brain and just spread out, and it is super spicy in your brain. Super spicy in your brain. It's not in your nose anymore. And then it just kind of dissipates. It's almost like fireworks going off. And you know that if anyone else probably sniffed this thing, it wouldn't end very well for them. They would probably be crying in the corner, banging their head. But you kind of just like hold tight to the ride of it and then just shake it off.
Okay. All right, so glad I didn't pour that on my wounds. So I'm going to I'm going to grab whatever. I think you said there was like wine or something. So I'm going to grab that, pour myself a glass, and just start kind of addressing and assessing my wounds from the previous encounter. And I kind of just start like, as I'm drinking my glass of wine, holding my hand, like running my fingers down my scar that goes from the top left of my forehead down past my eyebrow.
The wine bottles they look like wine bottles, but you're not sure if there's wine in them, but you pour yourself a glass.
Great.
And coming out of it is like a blue liquid.
Perfect. That seems more than enough for me. I'm gonna keep drinking it anyways. So yeah, I'm just kind of like running my fingers down my scar and just really enjoying the silence. I don't know how long it's gonna be silent, but really enjoying the fact that I'm here alone and no one's crying at me. And also that woman who cried, it's kind of triggering me a little bit in the sense of I'm now thinking about my family and I'm wondering if they're okay because they wouldn't come. And I understand that the tree that crushed her husband, all I'm thinking about is if Alvandra's okay, but I also know that I can't use my sending stone again. So I'm just going to kind of sit there and think about that and shake off that lady's tears because it really affected me in a worse way. That lack of being able to communicate with her is eating Nova alive. And she's not sure what to do, but she understands that there's quite literally nothing to do. And so she's going to drink her pain and assess her wounds, and I'm going to take a short rest. And I get 12 points of healing back.
Why don't you roll a d10 for me?
Okay, before I take my short rest?
Well, yeah, before you take your short rest.
Oh. A d10?
Mm-hmm.
That's an 8.
Okay. As you are sitting there resting, you drink from the blue water in the glass, and you find that it's refreshing.
Ooh.
And it's just water fresh water, as if it came straight from a spring.
What?
Absolutely not what I was wanting. Son of a bitch. And I think she just feels defeated. So even though it's just water, she's going to pretend that it's not. And she understands that it feels refreshing. And she really wants alcohol, but she's not in the effort or the energy to try to sniff weird shit again. So she's going to drink her water, pretend it's wine, just like Jesus, and take her short rest. So I'm going to give myself 12 points of healing back. And actually, I'm going to burn another, because I'm broken.
Another hit dice.
Yeah, I'm hurting very badly. So we're going to roll. I'm going to do a D8 this time.
Is there anything else you guys want to do the rest of this day?
Before I go up and join Shep, I'm going to... I'm just going to go up after I sit in my sorrows for a little bit. I am going to leave some money. I have no idea how much this blue goo water, that's what they call it, tastes or costs. I'm assuming maybe it's free, but I also sniff some weird shit, so maybe that costs something. So I'm definitely going to underpay, but I'll give a silver piece. I don't know if that's underpaying, but I'll give one silver piece.
Like you just leave it there in the kitchen and take the bottle with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to go up and join Shep with my winnings.
So did you asked if there was anything else we wanted to do today?
Mm-hmm.
I think for Shep, they're going to, after writing in their diary, they're probably going to start trying to relax and get ready for bed. They've had a long day. They're probably going to try to sleep.
So when Nova gets up there, she's just going to see Shep kind of just lounging on the bed to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And resting with her eyes closed.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else before we move forward? We're going to move on to the next day. So you guys are going to be able to take your long rest.
I'm going to assume that since Shep is asleep, they don't want any of my blue liquid, so I drink all of it.
Okay.
I ascertain that, well, clearly, they're not interested.
Roll me three D10s.
Uh-oh. That's going to be two natural ones and a four. 1, 1, 4. Wow, I'm rolling terrible. This is not a good day for me. I'm really going through it, all right?
Okay, so you realize that every time you take a sip from this bottle, it's a different liquid.
Amazing.
Not necessarily one that you can drink, or gotcha. That you should drink. You can drink. You should drink.
Do I know what these liquids are?
Some of them are... the next time you drink from it, it tastes like beer.
Oh, hell yeah. I chug that.
And then the next time you drink from it, you taste like this metallic-y decay. And then the next time you drink from it, you taste, as soon as it hits your tongue, you feel it sting and hear your tongue like start sizzling.
Oh. Oh, okay. I'm going to keep this. And I'm not going to fully tell Shep, so I'm going to hide it in my backpack. And that's just the way the cookie crumbles.
Cool. So when you wake up, you take 8 points of poison, or 4 points of poison damage, and then 8 points of acid damage.
When I wake up, not before I go to bed? This happens overnight? Holy shit! That's not great.
Okay. Wait, hold on. I gotta do this thing where I, take a long rest.
It's like residual from like you drank it right before going to bed. So like it doesn't hurt as bad, but it still hurts the next day.
8 points of what?
4 points of poison and 4 points of acid.
Tight. No regrets. Honestly, no. It just feels like a good hangover. That's all I wanted.
Cool.
But I do keep the bottle.
You do keep the bottle. Nice. Okay.
Can I add that to my inventory?
Yes.
What am I? Do I just custom add it, or is it something I should add?
Yes. Add the alchemy jug.
Oh, book. Yeah.
But you don't really...
Yeah, it's going in my backpack.
You don't really know much about what it is.
Other than when I drink from it, it gives you a different liquid
every time. You don't know anything about it. Yeah, and it's all in one, like, wine bottle. And I'll say that you notice in that night, you can't tell if the liquid amount has changed.
Ah, even when I chugged the beer.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Okay. I go to sleep, and I wake up very hungover, so I think. I'm like, damn, this thing's got a good kick.
Awesome. Okay. Hey, everyone. That's all for this week's episode. Thank you so much for joining Vanna, Liv, and I in our favorite pastime. Be sure to follow, rate, or comment and let us know your favorite parts of this week's episode. Have a wonderful week. And until next time.